الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين وقال تبارك وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد Respected علماء, my honored teachers, my colleagues, friends, and listeners, wherever they may be. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. After September the 11th, last year, many people have been repeating a phrase which is, everything has changed. It's a new game. And that nothing will ever be the same again. The truth is, we should not be duped by this propaganda. And we as Muslims should realize that things are the same. Nothing has really changed. And not much is really different. Because the persecution of the Muslims, enmity, hatred and hostility towards the Ummah, the ridicule and vilification of Islam, and this constant battle between haqq and batil, truth and falsehood, did not start on September the 11th. But it has been present with us and with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the very beginning. Nothing has changed. There is nothing special about this year as opposed to last year. But as I said, difficulties for the Muslims, trials and tribulations, and a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the persecution and the harassment of the Muslims on the part of the disbelievers, all of these things are things that have happened before, are happening now, will continue to happen till the Day of Judgment. This is exactly what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have promised us. And therefore, mentally and spiritually and morally and in every way, we should be prepared for it. Unfortunately, especially over the past year and even in the recent years, many Muslims have sensed that we are living in very difficult times, in the days of fitna. We are tested and tried everywhere. There is fitna at home. There is fitna in our families. There is fitna in the Ummah. There is fitna in the Muslim lands, and especially in the lands of the non-Muslims where Muslims reside. There is fitna in our relationship with the disbelievers. Wherever we look, there is nothing but fitna. And a man is left bewildered Just as is mentioned in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a time will come when there will be such fitnas in the dunya that these fitnas will leave an intelligent, sensible man bewildered. He will not be able to understand. And we live in these days of fitna. But this is nothing new. This is exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied. But yes, now things are difficult for the believers. Even though we are prosperous, we may be rich, we may be eating and drinking, we do not have a problem of shelter and accommodation, food and drink and clothing. We are married, we have children, we have families, we have our food and provisions, we have our shelter and accommodation, but still there is no peace of mind, there is no rest. And we face fitnas both in our homes, in our families, and outside in our relationship with the disbelievers. We live in such times that exactly as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes in a hadith related by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi wa sallam from Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأتي على الناس زمان الصابر فيهم على دينه كالقابض على الجمع. That a time will come upon the people when in that time a person remaining steadfast upon his religion will be like one holding on to burning cinders. Imagine a man being forced to hold on to burning coals in his palm, burning embers and cinders. Imagine the heat, the searing heat, the pain, the excruciating pain. And not just for a moment, but this man is being forced to hold on to burning embers and cinders continuously in a clenched fist. Imagine the pain he is going through, not for a moment or a few seconds, but continuously all the time. Imagine that pain. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a time will come upon the people when for a person to believe in Allah and to practice his faith will be akin and will be exactly like holding on to burning cinders continuously. And we are in those days. In another hadith related by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad, from Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويل للعرب من شر قد اقترب فتنا قطع الليل المظلم يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا يبيع قوم دينهم بعرض من الدنيا قليل المتمسك يومئذ بدينه كالقارض على الجمر. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, woe be unto the Arabs because of a fitna and because of evil that is soon to come. There will be such fitnas that will come rapidly like the successive dark parts of the night. A man will believe in the morning, but in the evening he will become a kafir. Such will be the fitna. He will believe in the morning, but by evening he shall become a kafir. And people will sell their religion for the small portion and for a meager wealth of the dunya. Very few will be people in those days holding on fast to their religion, but such people will be like ones holding on to burning cinders in their hands. These are the days of fitna, and a man is bewildered. Such will be the fitna in family, the fitna of wealth, the fitna of women, the fitna of religion, the fitna of kufr, the fitna of enmity against the Muslims, the fitna of persecution, the fitna of the sorrows and the worries and the grief of life, that a man will want to be relieved of these sorrows and grief. He will not want to live anymore. He will not enjoy his wealth. He will have a family but not be able to enjoy his family. He will have power but not be able to enjoy his power. He will have food and drink, but there is no sustenance or nourishment in his food and drink. All he wants is death. And he will not even be pious, hoping to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith related by Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, from Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يمر الرجل بقبر الرجل فيقول يا ليتني مكانه. A man, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the hour of judgment will not come until a man will pass by the grave of another man, and then he will say, I wish I was in the place of this buried man in his grave. And in the same hadith recorded by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَا بِهِ حُبُّ لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. He will have no love of meeting Allah. There will be some people who will say, I wish I die so that I can be relieved of the grief and the sorrow of this dunya, so that I may go to the expanse and the liberty of the akhirah, and that I may meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer will want to leave the dunya because of Jannah. A believer will want to leave the dunya because of his desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But no, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a man will wish to die, and a man will wish to be in the place of the buried man by the grave over which he passes, not because he loves Allah. He has no desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the only problem is, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another hadith recorded by a Muslim in his Sahih, the same hadith, that a man will roll on the grave of another man and say, I wish I was in the place of this buried man. He will have no problem, no sickness, no mental ill problem, no mental illness. His only problem will be the sorrows and the griefs of the dunya that he wishes to be relieved of. We live in those days of fitna when a man cannot understand what has happened, especially when it comes to being persecuted by the disbelievers. But as Muslims, we should realize that this is exactly what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised us. And unfortunately, especially over the past few years, we have become so weak in our faith that some of us, Allah forbid, and Allah protect the rest of us, have begun to doubt the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have begun to doubt the supremacy of Islam over all of the faiths, cultures and ways of life. They have begun to doubt the promises of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now we stand in awe of the military might, the economic power, the wealth and the culture and civilization of the West. And some of us have openly begun to say that Islam and the Muslims have been defeated. That Western culture has proved itself. There is no life, there is no hope, there is no future in dressing like Muslims, in believing like Muslims, in behaving like Muslims, in avoiding haram, in earning halal, in avoiding interest, and in living this traditional way of Islam. The West has proved itself. The future is in Western culture. The future is in adopting the ways of Western civilization. We as Muslims living in non-Muslim countries, we think the same. And Muslims all over the globe living in their own Muslim lands, where the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum lived, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has lived, where the greatest people of this ummah have spent their lives and where they are buried. Even Muslims in these holy Muslim lands are now looking to the West, abandoning their past, abandoning their legacy of Islam, abandoning their tradition, and looking to the West for the future, that all success, all happiness, all progress is in Western civilization, and that Islam and the Muslims have been defeated. Now if we want to move forward, let us move according to the ways of the disbelievers and the kuffar, according to the ways of the West. Theirs is the military might. Theirs is the economic power. Theirs is the beauty of culture and civilization. We are in such awe of this culture and civilization, of this military might, that we have begun to doubt the beauty and the glory of Islam and the promise of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We live in such days of fitna. But this is a test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially over the last year, when the disbelievers, in their desire for revenge and in their blind passion for retaliation, have occupied Muslim lands, bombed Muslim countries into oblivion, and began persecuting Muslims wherever they may be. If you look like a Muslim, even if you have a Muslim name and you don't look like a Muslim, you are in trouble. And Muslims want the easy option. They want the easy way out. Some Muslims have begun to change their names. Many Muslims will pray in secret at home, but whereas before they were dressed in the Sunnah, they now wish to avoid dressing in the Sunnah. They want to mix in. They want to be assimilated. They want to be integrated. They want to blend in and eventually dissolve, so that there is no difference between them and the rest. And this isn't just out of fear, but there is a nagging doubt in our hearts, and there is creeping disbelief that no, if Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's promise was true, if glory and strength belong to the Muslims, if the future belonged to Muslims and the Islamic civilization, then we would not see the suffering of Muslims all over the globe as we are seeing now. Nor would we see the defeat of Muslims in certain parts of the world as we have witnessed. Nor would we see these non-Muslim powers straggling the whole globe, occupying our Muslim lands, enslaving the whole Muslim ummah, stealing our resources, and even keeping our holy places and holy lands in captivity and in bondage. But this is exactly what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised us, because this is a test. And Allah Azzawajal is testing us. Iman is not cheap, and Jannah is not cheap. Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith repeatedly, Ala inna sil'atullahi ghaliyah. Ala inna sil'atullahi ghaliyah. Know that the product of Allah, meaning Jannah, is expensive. Know that the product of Allah is expensive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give us Jannah. Allah will not allow us to claim that we are believers without testing us and putting our faith to the test. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in a verse of the Quran, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, what? Do you think you will enter Jannah just like that? Even though the likes of those days have not yet visited you as visited those who came before you. Affliction struck them, suffering befell them, and they were shaken so much so that even the Messenger of Allah and those believers who were with him began to say, when will the help of Allah come? Know that the help of Allah is close. In another verse, Allah Azza wa Jal says, as I recited in the very beginning, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. We will most assuredly test you with a bit of fear and a bit of hunger and a loss of wealth and a loss of produce and fruits, and give glad tidings to those who are patient and steadfast. Allah Azza wa Jalla will test us. In this country, Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with wealth. We may not be hungry, we may not be thirsty, we may not be without shelter and without a roof, we may not be homeless, we may not be without clothes, but Allah will test our iman with the fitna around us. And it will not be easy. We will not be able to say that we are Muslims who believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who hope and pray for Jannah. We wish to dress in a particular way. We wish to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We wish to fast and believe. We wish to have our masajid. We wish to maintain our identity. We wish to be distinct as believers in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then not be tested and not be persecuted. We will be harassed. We will be persecuted. We will be suspected. We will be looked upon as aliens and as intruders. We will face adversity, hardship and difficulty, and we will face a lot of hostility. But we should be prepared for that. This is Allah's test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will suffer long queues. We will be held up at airports. We will be mocked. We will be laughed at. Our women in their hijab and niqab will be booed and jeered at and abused verbally. And Allah protect them that they are never ever abused physically. Our children will be tormented and taunted with vibes and jibes at school. And we will never be allowed to forget that we are different. But alhamdulillah, we know and we wish to be different. For we believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلْيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, do people think that they will be left alone just because they have said آمَنَّا, we have believed, and that they will not be tested? Verily, we tested those who came before them. And we will test them. And soon Allah will come to know with an assurity who are those who are honest and those who are false in their claim of Iman. Allah will test us. And we as believers should bear this test with patience, strength, fortitude, perseverance and Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with hope in Allah and in His mercy. And we should realize that no matter how mighty other civilizations may seem to us, no matter what their military strength may be, Allah has shown us in the Quran that in the history of the Prophet ﷺ, many great civilizations came and went. But those who believed in Allah at the time of these great civilizations, even though there may have been a group of people with the Prophet of Allah ﷺ at the time, or even if they were individuals, none of them were ever shaken in their faith. For example, let us not speak about the Prophet ﷺ. They have been given a unique strength by Allah. But just take the example of that anonymous believer from amongst the people of Fir'aun. وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ مِّنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنِ يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَهُ till the end of the verse. Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about one believer in the people of Fir'aun. Allah does not even mention his name. And he remains anonymous. He lived at a time when there was also a great civilization. Today, people marvel at Western civilization. We stand in awe of American firepower, of their military might, of their economic power. We think of their military, this fleet, this navy of warships, their fleet of aircraft, these precision bombers, their missiles, their nuclear arsenal, their technology. We are amazed and astounded with their ability to spy on the whole globe, with their ability to bomb who they want, when they want, with apparent impunity. And the world cowers before them. And along with the military might, there is also this culture of McDonald's, of Big Mac, and the American culture of their fashion, their music, their dress, their apparent liberty and democracy, their way of life. And the whole world is catching on. We stand in awe of their military might, their civilization, their culture, their power. If the American president sneezes, the world gets to know. If a crisp gets stuck down his throat, the world gets to know and everybody makes dua. No matter what he does, we are forced to know of his movements. The White House is the center of power, and everybody looks at it with reverence, in almost a worshipful way, and people adore this civilization. Imagine Fir'aun in his own time. Fir'aun in his own time was the same. In fact, he was far more powerful than any individual on earth today. And the civilization of ancient Egypt was great. It was great to such an extent that today, till today, people travel from all over the world to visit this country in order to marvel at this ancient civilization. Imagine this Egyptian civilization in its heyday. Pharaoh on the throne. This emperor, who was not just adored but worshipped. This mentioned in the books of history, that when Pharaoh would travel from one palace to the other, or when he would travel along the Nile, or when he would just simply go out in a procession, people wouldn't stand there waving flags and saluting. No. All along, the congregation of people that would gather in order to see him, they would all be in prostration, in sajda to Fir'aun whilst he was walking past. Thousands upon thousands of people, not waving and clapping and shouting and screaming in adoration. No, they would all be silent in sajda, in prostration to Fir'aun. His might was such, they had, the ancient Egyptian civilization had its economic power, its culture, its beauty, its own religion, its own faith, its own way of life, its own emperor. In fact, the emperor was God himself, as he claimed. Yet, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed one individual from the people of Fir'aun with Iman, he saw through this civilization. He saw through it all. And his gaze was on the Akhirah. And when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam proclaimed his message, initially this man concealed his faith. But then when he saw the people persecute Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he had the belief, the faith and the courage to stand up and face single-handedly the might of the civilization. And he told them, يَا قَوْمِ لَكُمُ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمَ ظَاهِرِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَمَنْ يَنْصُرُنَا مِنْ بَأْسِ اللَّهِ إِنْ جَاءَنَا. That, O my people, today you enjoy this kingdom and this empire. On earth you are mighty and powerful and dominant upon the earth. But O my people, فَمَنْ يَنْصُرُنَا مِنْ بَأْسِ اللَّهِ إِنْ جَاءَنَا. Who will assist us when the punishment of Allah will arrive? This one man saw through the civilization. He saw through everything. He saw through the culture. And he believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and single-handedly faced Fir'aun. And eventually he was martyred. He was martyred. There are similar stories throughout the Qur'an of the Prophets alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And even apart from the Prophets, the young men of the people of the cave who